pass their homework forward.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Sorry, I'm late. I'm on Medicaid.
I'll sign those, please.
Yep. Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate your attendance. I'm Richard Ball, Commissioner of Ag and Markets. I'm joined by fund members Mike Kimmelman and Peter Igena. Welcome, everyone. We have a quorum present, and with that, I will call this meeting to order. Our first order of business is to designate a presiding officer. Do you have a motion to do that?
I make a motion to nominate Commissioner Ball.
Thank you. Does all in favor of that motion say aye?
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Thank you. In addition to the members present, we have Acting Executive Director of the Fund, Ron Okrum, is here, along with Mark Stewart, our counsel. Jackie Zub, Deputy Commissioner of Department of Ag and Markets, to my right here. And also Gail Thorpe, Director of Contract Services at Gainwood. Gail. So they know who we are. Thank you. Connie Richardson and Brian Squardieri.
Brian's not here. He's
Brian's
under the weather.
Under the weather.
Yes.
I can appreciate that.
Yes.
And also Sandy Meadows from the Gaming Commission's Internal Audit Unit. Thank you. Before we get to the public comment period and the rest of our agenda, there's a couple of things that we need to talk about regarding this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've got an RFQ and an RFP in front of us here. The New York State Sire Stakes Program is a New York State program with New York State dollars. I think we're all aware of that. And it was created in order that it may promote the breeding of horses and the conduct of equine research in the state on its own responsibility and under its own business management. And that's a direct quote from Racing Law 330. The current contract holder has no authority to run the program, but has managed it on behalf of the fund for years by a sole source provider handling two functions, one being promotional and advertising services, two being the administrative services for the Sire Stakes. And under state procurement law, the fund, as a public benefit corporation, cannot continue a sole source contract unless there is evidence to justify such an expenditure. To our knowledge, the contract has never been bid out, and therefore it was determined to publicly bid both functions in a fair, transparent, and legal manner according with state law. The fund issued two requests for these functions. Number one, the request for proposal, or IRP, sought solicitations for promotional and advertising services for the fund for a three-year period. Number two, the request for quotations, or RFQ, sought solicitations for administrative services for the Sire Stakes for a one-year period. Two responses were received for each function. The Harness Horse Breeders of New York State and Capitol Hill Management Services Incorporated. A review committee consisting of fund representatives and staff reviewed the submissions and made unanimous determinations based on state law. Both submitters were recently notified of the committee's recommendations to the fund. At this point, I want to turn this over to Peter Argena for the comments that we received from the review committee.
Okay, I'm taking it. This is what we want, right?
This process.
Okay. This process, from the assurance of the RFP and the RFQ through today's agenda, has been deliberate and in line with the letter of the law. There has been some confusion and some concerns raised about this procurement process, and the misinformation has been contained in the press, much of it based on some incomplete information or misunderstandings. The focus of which appears to be largely on the administration of the Sire Stakes, which is sought via the request for quotations, not the request for proposal. One concern was that the registered lobbyist was permitted to bid this contract. This is not the issue. The issue is whether the funds derived from the service provision can themselves be used to support lobbying activities. There is no clause in the RFQ regarding lobbying activity as it is a contract for services. However, there is a clause included in the actual contract between the fund and whoever provides the aforementioned services that restricts the use of any development fund monies to be used for lobbying activity. This restriction will continue. Another concern raised was that the recommended awardee does not have the qualifications required by the RFP and the RFQ. The Funds Committee thoroughly reviewed the qualifications of the recommended awardee and unanimously agreed that the entity objectively met the minimum qualifications, including statistical maintenance, data processing, record keeping, and correspondence administration. The committee also found that the recommended awardee clearly met the minimum qualifications for the promotional and advertising services contract, including marketing and public relations, event promotion, and management. These concerns outlined are addressed in the current contract and will be addressed in any new contract. If the awardee does not sufficiently provide the contracted services, the contract can be terminated. While there has been concern raised whether the awardee can provide the level of service provided in the past, the committee does not share that concern and noted that the entity has years of experience providing such support and will be faithful in executing these duties in a new contract. The members of the fund are public servants who take this volunteer role seriously and care about the future of harness racing in New York State while being mindful stewards of taxpayer dollars. I'd like to note that we have with us today Gail Thorpe, the New York State Gaming Commission's contract supervisor, who has more than 25 years of experience in overseeing procurement and was instrumental in guiding the fund through this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Gail, for your work. I want to mention, as a side note here, that something I've talked with some of you about in the past here at the department that we're about to announce here, press release will go out likely tomorrow, is that at the Department of Agriculture, we are going to be pulling together a work group about the standard bread industry. We intend to do the same thing with the thoroughbred industry, but to pull together stakeholders, pull together the universities. When I'm saying stakeholders, I'm talking about the standard bread industry. I'm talking about our universities, Cornell and Morrisville in particular. And it will consist of Farm Bureau, the breeders, all those representatives to look at the future of breeding in New York State, what we want to see it look like for the next 20 years. So we'll be doing that. We'll be announcing that tomorrow. We intend to do the same for both of our breeder funds. That's the Department of Agriculture Initiative, and we look forward to hearing from you about that. At this point, we're going to open up the agenda to public comment. I'm going to ask you to limit your comments to 5 minutes. And I'm going to ask Deputy Commissioner Jackie Sub to be the timekeeper on that. At this point, when you are asked to speak, please state your name and your affiliation.
I'd like to speak.
Sure.
My name is Ken Jacobs. I purchase probably, with Linda and I, the most yearling in New York. I now have the number one trotter in the world, and I question the new administrating, who's going to make sure that everybody's eligible. So I now am going to be looking at other states because I just don't think it's going to work. There's a lot of work that the breeders do that I volunteer. I go to the races for the draw to make sure the draw is good in my area as well. And we don't get paid, and we do it as a service to the industry. I have, 20 New York breads right now. I will not be buying that many New York breads because I feel we're not going to get a quality service. That's my opinion, and that's what I have to say. Wanda is the next biggest, or the biggest, so we're both in the same boat. We're worried about, what do I do with my horses in the sire stakes? who's going to monitor it, who's eligible, because we had numerous problems last year, because everybody's trying to put the horse in. Half of the horses aren't eligible, and we have to correct that before the race. I don't think new people are going to understand this and know it. And I don't care who you give it to. We have 50 years of doing this. Somebody with no experience is going to have a problem doing this. So I, for one, am now going to look at not buying all New York breds. And I've done it for the last 30 years. I don't buy anything but New York bred. That is ag, okay? And if I don't put my half a million or $1 million in buying yearlings into New York, that's going to hurt you. Now, whether you care, whether it's political money or what, I care because I'm passionate about the business. And I don't know that somebody that don't know our business is going to be as passionate as I am. That's my 3 minutes or whatever.
Thank you. Yes.
Wanda Pellicini. I agree with everything that Ken has said. And I, for one, I buy anywhere from 20 to 24 New York breds every year. I will cut it down. I can do that because I want to make sure that the program, and I go about to these sales and I'm telling everybody that New York has the best sire stakes program. So therefore we need to have the best retirement program. It is the truth. But I would not rest comfortably with an agency doing the things, keeping track of everything, especially overnight. Maybe in a year, maybe like they were supposed to have 2 years experience, you can learn it. It's complicated. But we are right there with the New York Sire Stakes program. Why do you suppose everybody else is buying New York bread? It costs us more because our New Yorkers, because everybody recognizes that the New York State Sires program is the best. So those that have bought Pennsylvania and New Jersey and raced primarily there, they are now buying New York. We can't jeopardize that.
And again, on hers, I used to be able to buy a New York bread for $30,000. Now I'm paying $100,000 and $150,000 for a New York bread because everybody wants to come up into our program. And making a decision, people may not understand the inner of us owners that are buying. We're spending real money. I mean, I pay a lot of tax dollars, and I'm spending real money on horses. And I pay to have them trained and performance to the races, and I spend a lot of money. And I don't want to see it messed up because people that don't know the business are going to be monitoring it.
Sir.
That's real.
So I just have to defer to you. Do you have any additional comments, Wanda?
No, I agree. It is the wrong approach. And I spend just as much in the thoroughbreds, both. But I feel so strongly about the New York Sire Stakes program. I race more in the standard bred industry.
Thank you.
And I will leave. I will leave because if it begins to go downhill and my mouth has been professing to all these states and all these other trainers and owners that New York is the best, I will not represent when it isn't right.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah. My name is Paul Kelly. I'm an owner and a trainer. I've been based here in New York for the better part of 25 years or more, and I've been a participant in the New York Sire Stakes program for better than 20 years. I represent owners that are residents here of New York. I have owners, clients that are from other states in North America, Canada, as well as Scandinavia. These people, they put their trust in me, and they put their trust in the New York Sire Stakes program for me to buy the best possible New York breds that I can every year. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for New York horses every single year. One of the reasons we do that is because, beyond my familiarity with racing in New York, I'm very, very comfortable with the harness breeders in New York State and the way that they've operated and maintained an administrative arm to this program. I'm just absolutely stunned and shocked that this program could get derailed, the harness breeders could get derailed like this to a firm that has absolutely no background in what we do. The language that we speak as horsemen every day is a different language than what Capitol Hill management is even accustomed to. It's going to be Greek to them in that regard. If the horse language is a different language, they've got to adjust and they've got to come up to speed just like that to keep this program running at the top speed that it has been and the efficiency that we're accustomed to. Beyond that, there are so many issues that come up on a daily basis and on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, where I have to pick up the phone, I have to call Betty Holt or somebody on the harness breeders to get an answer. It might have to do with eligibility. It might have to do with a bylaw that I don't understand. But there's always somebody that I can reach by phone nearly 24 hours a day to get a question answered. Okay? We switch over now to this Capitol Hill management. I'm not even sure if there's anybody even in the room from Capitol Hill management right now. But I have no idea who I'm going to speak to and what kind of confidence am I going to have that somebody from Capitol Hill management is going to be able to pick up the phone and iron out a problem that might be taking place right now at Batavia Downs or right now at Monticello on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday evening. I mean, I don't see that happening. And I just think that it's a big injustice for the harness breeders who have been around for 50 years, people who put their heart and soul into this game and know this game inside and out. They know all the players in the game. To make this thing work as smooth as they do, I just find that it's a big injustice that these people are getting swept aside for what I think is an agenda that's being taken place here. And that's about all I have to say.
Bought another piece of property for 167 acres. It'll be one of the largest farms in Greene County. I congratulate the state of New York for complying by law and bidding out a sole source providing contract. I've tried and gone to every commission meeting or ag fund meeting that I possibly could to. For the last 3 years, 4 years. I asked the harness horse breeders to sit down for a round table discussion for the improprieties that I had said that I had found myself, or what I considered improprieties. Cutting and pasting records, altering my contracts, and I had complied by the laws. I, too, own horses. I have 22 New York breds. I have stallions that I had to move out of the state of New York because I couldn't do business here for complying with the law. It was real hard. And I don't know if Capitol Management or Capitol Hill Management will be the answer, but I at least hope that they will be transparent. Because when I would make the calls and had the problems, I didn't get the answers. I didn't get the return calls back. I got a list of paper to cut and paste my paperwork that I filed and paid for with the state. And what I do commend is the Agricultural Fund for reviewing the breeding in this state, both thoroughbreds and standardbreds. Because perhaps this new agency will take into consideration the thoroughbreds. They have a dental plan. They have retirement. They have large programs in case a horseman gets hurt. We, the standardbreds, we don't have any of that. And our voices have not been heard for a long time. And perhaps the government, when they make their budget, they can take the general fund and give a quarter of a percent or a half a percent to help our industry, just like the thoroughbred industry. Because in our industry, we did not have the top lawyers. We did not have the top lobbyists knocking at the governor's door. And all of the people that wear the suits and ties and the new contractual people, it's the people like me that see a man hanging from the rafters because he can't feed his family. So this is about a whole. It's about an industry. Do I like the harness horse breeders? Yes, I did. I believed in everything that Ann Swag, that her husband, that Miss Policini has stood for. Do I believe in Bruce Hamilton? Yes, I believed in Bruce Hamilton. But the program got to where a person like myself could not be heard. And there was an agenda. And if you look at the numbers that are bred in this state, they were always number one in the United States. They aren't now. Indiana, Ohio, and Pennsylvania have surpassed. And there has to be an answer why. I believe I know the answers. And I believe you people do too. That's why you're reviewing the whole programs. And everyone needs to make a contribution. And this bid has been on the table and at the meeting since December. And it's the first time I've seen this many people in a room.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yes.
My name's Mary Ann Olstead. I'm an employee. I'm not going to be hanging from the rafters, although I'll be losing my job. I worked for Harness Horse Breeders for 11 years. I've worked under three different directors, and I can tell you everyone put their heart and soul in. But my concern is the mission. Harness Horse Breeders is non-for-profit. Its mission is completely in line with the mission of the Ag Fund. It's nonprofit. We're looking to increase agriculture, what's best for the horses, including, you know, aftercare and everything. They do not have the money like thoroughbreds do, and that's a whole different issue. Other than this one complaint, I have not heard of anyone after the harness horse breeders or the fund. I don't know how many other complaints do you get. And I would hate to think that a personal vendetta could open up what happened. But like I said, we are on a mission the same as the Ag Fund. And that's what I see, and it's only my opinion. No one knows. I mean, I'm going to come and say anything. But I figured it's like,
yeah. Thank you, Mary. Yes.
David Kane. Ann Swag and I are probably the only two people in this room that knows the harness horse breeders for the last 45 or 50 years, being involved from day one through the present, having been involved with your conditions for the last 40 years, your scheduling for the last 40 years. If I said to this new company that's interested, S1, they wouldn't have the foggiest idea of what I was talking about. only the people who have done the scheduling and/or why we have the rules we have. We have specific rules in our conditions because we've crossed the bridge to have the need for the rule. I have no doubt in my mind these people wouldn't have the foggiest idea about what rules we have, why we have the rules, how the rules are made, who made the rules, what caused them to be made, or anything on scheduling. I mean, they say anybody can schedule. I don't think it's quite that way. You're talking about seven different tracks. You're talking about their problems. Put their problems together with all the other problems that you may have, transportation and et cetera. I don't think this type of a company would have the expertise to be involved in those types of activities. Because the minute you start saying conditions, they might not have any idea what the total conditions are and why they're there, how they're there, where they came from, and how do you enforce them. They may want to say, well, what does this mean? Because when you have a pages of conditions, which we have three or four pages for the sire stakes, we have three or four pages for the excelsiors A, three or four pages for the Bs, we have county fairs. If we start talking about our different levels, I'm not so sure these people have any concept of what our program is, how it's been there. And being involved in thoroughbred with the problems they seem to have, I would hope we wouldn't be considering going into that particular avenue after all the problems I read in the paper for the last 5 years. I would rather stay where we are and do what we can do as a group that understands what we're doing. They, I don't feel, will understand. And I know they have not been involved in conditions or scheduling that I've done for the last 35 years. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Any other comments?
I have one, if I may. If everybody read the proposal, the conditions in the schedule is not part of the contracts. The conditions in the scheduling has been done by David and myself. It's going to continue that way. The fund is taking over the conditions themselves and the scheduling. And if we could have had attendance like this in the December 8th meeting we'd had here, you would have heard that I plan on doing the scheduling in the fall, in the winter. And I've always asked David to be a part of it through Harness Horse Breeders, or he can do it on his own if there's no Harness Horse Breeders don't want to participate. We receive recommendations from anybody. We take the recommendations in and we discuss it. We still are going to be taking recommendations in from Harness Horse Breeders, whether to get the contract or not. But going forward, the conditions and the scheduling is not in neither contract. It's been taken in-house, and I'll be doing it myself, along with, hopefully, David, if he still feels up to it.
Peter, I have 20 horses racing.
Yep.
I worry about the points because that gets messed up. Who's going to take care of the points? How do we know who's eligible, who's in the top eight in the points? How are we going to get that? I have to now keep my own records on all my horses because this group doesn't, I don't believe, understand the points per race and how we're going to get to who's eligible and who's not eligible for the final. Because in New York, you're looking to win the final. I've won it several times. I want to know that these horses are eligible and how many times, in even last year, horses got in that shouldn't have got in. Because of...
And who was taking care of those points last year that horses were getting in and not getting in?
No, it was the races.
Huh?
They only had two eligible.
No, I'm saying, who took care of the points last year?
We did, but okay. It was done very well.
But you had
well.
Problems.
No, we didn't.
Oh, you just said there was problems with the points last year.
No, I didn't. I said two horses got into the final with only two races. And we should change that they have to have three races to get in the final.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. Okay, but now who's going to take care of the points? And do I have to take care of all the points for all my horses?
You'll be going on the internet, and those points will be done properly.
By whom?
It is under the contract of Capitol Hill.
Capitol.
And we will be watching, and I will be watching.
Well, I'm very nervous.
Just like last year, we had a problem with management. Okay? We had three horses put into the Sire Stakes finals at Vernon Downs. Okay? That was monitoring the draws. HHB monitored the draws, but the three horses still got in. There was only supposed to be two. That was the problem with whoever was in charge of monitoring. That was HHB. Okay? It happens. It happens with people who have been doing this for 50 years.
Do you think it's not going to happen more with people that don't even know?
No, because we got rid of the rule.
I think that what we need to get a hold of here is that just because we don't know the people that may be receiving this contract does not mean we know they're competent or incompetent. You probably can't tell me the names of the people in the Ohio organization that runs it, or the Pennsylvania organization that runs it, or the Indiana organization that runs it. And yet you're saying you may flock right to them because you're sure they can do the job. So maybe the company we're going to hire can't, but maybe they can do parts of this job. Or all of the job. And I think what everybody here is trying to say is, we're going to try to find out. And the good news is, you have a huge stake in this business.
Huge.
Most of the people in this room do, or they're vacationing in the wrong place. And the idea is that I think everybody, regardless of the way this turns out, is hoping this works. You're not rooting against yourself, and you're not rooting against yourself, neither is anybody else. And if it doesn't work, there's things in place to deal with that. And none of us are hoping we fail. I'm sure of that.
No.
Nobody got to this point in life rooting against themselves. So the idea here is we're hoping this works. And there's actually a chance that the very proficient job that was handled by the people that secured this contract, maybe it does work. But I think condemning an organization, people that nobody knows yet, maybe they're good at this. Maybe they know half of 100 is 50 and a quarter of 100 is 25. Maybe they do.
So they have done this before?
No, they've divided numbers before. And so maybe they can carry, and maybe they can. But in this day and age where everybody's walking around with a computer in their pocket, keeping track of lists isn't the same going to a filing cabinet in an office at 9 o'clock at night to find something out. Everybody's got it. And I'm a dinosaur when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I'm more scared of change than anybody. But I'm betting there's a lot of people that are better at keeping records and keeping track of this stuff than me. So whatever gets decided here, before we root against ourselves, before the sky is full, let's just try to stay vigilant as a group and see where it takes us.
I have one more question, sir.
Yep.
Is this already a done deal? If it is, we're just wasting air and time. If it's a done deal and they've got the contract and it's going to be approved, just say so and not waste everybody's time and going on and on. And if nothing, it's just hot air for nothing. Why waste everybody's time?
Yes, the trustees need to vote on this. And that's why we're here, to listen to your comments first. So I'm going to go to you next. Thank you.
My only comment is that maybe is not good enough for the harness people of New York State. They have already a group that is devoted to this, that is dedicated, that is experienced. Therefore, maybe is not adequate.
Can I ask your name?
I'm Ann Zwar.
Thank you, Ann. This is for official record. For the official record, thank you.
Thank you.
What about Betty next?
Betty Holt. I know that this has been a long decision and a lot of work has been put into it. I've talked to a number of you. I don't necessarily agree with your decision, but I know that you tried your best to do what you thought was best and based on the laws, and I do appreciate you taking the time to really look at our proposal and provide clarification. So I just want to thank you for that. And I also want to add, Pete, I know you know the program. All of the breeders know that you know the program. But we also know that you're appointed to your position, and that appointment can end any time. Are you comfortable knowing that if you stepped down or you got hit by a bus tomorrow, that this program would be in good hands?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. That's all I wanted to ask.
Well, October is the first Sire Steak yearling sale. And if this program is...
September.
Is yeah. what I think it's yeah. going to be. I'm not going to be buying New York breads. I got to be looking for something else. And I really hate that because I've been buying New York breads for 30 years.
Okay, between now and sale time, yeah. what do you think... They're going to start racing in 3-4 weeks, okay? A month, okay? What do you think is going to fall apart between when we start racing and when October's sale?
Because everything is all set now. It's going to be just on the incidentals with who's qualified, who's not qualified, right. et cetera. Because they've already done the scheduling, so that's
right.
that's already done. The only thing they do is have to monitor the situation. That's really all they have to do.
Right.
So, yeah, they probably could monitor it. But after this year, they're going to have to be putting this all together. Okay? So I'm looking at next year. I already got my yearlings bought for this year. Whatever it is, it is.
So you're worried about schedule for next year?
I'm worried about how New York Sire State performs in this industry. And is Pennsylvania going to be better? Is Indiana going to be better? Because everybody else is really shooting at New York because of our program. Now, I have to look at people that don't buy a lot of horses can have one horse, and it's not a big deal. I buy a lot of horses, Pete, and I am worried. Wanda buys more horses than I do because she buys thoroughbreds. We're worried about the standardbreds, and I am worried. I got...
But what...
Okay. The thing is, we need to... Are there any other public comments? Anyone else that hasn't spoken?
I have one quick comment. With the program, perhaps, it's going to be run... Most of the statistics, information and everything will be run and taken care of by these, our experts. Why can't we split it and have those do the marketing and all that and still have the people that are most important to us to take control of the scientists? Most CEOs of corporations won't go out and hire somebody that really doesn't know anything about running their business. So yeah. that would be just a suggestion that I might have.
Gail, do you?
Thank you.
Yep. Right. Since we took this on as a legal process, a competitive bid, basically the administrative piece was based on the cost. There wasn't a detailed evaluation done on that piece because of the type of work that it is. So by law, that award was made to the lowest bidder. And so basically, if you were going against that, you would be throwing out a bid, and then giving an award to someone who was three times the cost of what that bid was. And under procurement law or any of our standards that we go by, it just would be inappropriate use of funding to do that. While everybody cares about the work that the HHB has done and they appreciate the knowledge, we still had to go through a legal process. The other piece, the marketing, was based on a competitive evaluation of the company, of the staffing. We will provide detailed briefings to either company that wants to come in and explain how they scored, where they were strong, where they were weak, and talk about the outcome of that. So everybody's very passionate about that, and we understand, but we also come down to what was the legal process. Everything was done according to law. Everything was well discussed, and we had interviews. We had reference calls, and that's where the decision came. And under the administrative piece, again, it was cost only. So we're really down to, you know, what choice do you have? You know, would you say throw a bid out and pay three times the price? Or do you go with the way things came out, make an award to a qualified company, seemingly qualified, as far as we can tell, they can do the job. They may not have the specific course knowledge, but we feel that in any business, there would be a learning curve. And I think that they are a responsible and qualified firm to at least take this on. And this is a one-year contract, the administrative. And so you have one season, one complete year to see how it works out. And then the fund would, I'm sure, assess that and then determine how they want to move forward.
Could I ask you a question? If you knew what you wanted for the advertising and you said you got to do A, B, C, D, E, G down the list, and you say, okay, which can do that the best? When it came to administrative, I could give you a list of 10 different things that they should be able to do, and you say you put none down. Well, that tells me that you said that anybody that would bid the lowest price could get that and learn it. Well, I don't know if it's always a learning curve. I don't think we want a learning curve. We want to be able to start today and tomorrow give us the answers.
Actually, the document did have all the requirements in it. I'm not sure if I'm understanding your question.
You just said that part did. This one had all that was in it. This was just a number.
No,
the lowest price.
No, I said that the marketing piece had a detailed evaluation process where a committee looked at the staffing, and the other one was cost, but it did have all the requirements that
will be. Oh, you didn't say that. You just said cost. You based on cost.
The evaluation is based on cost, but the documents themselves have all the details. They're all on the website.
48 pages worth.
Yeah.
Pretty big detail.
Then,
at this point, I want to close the public comment period. And pursuant to Section 105, Paragraph F of the Public Officers Law, I would like to entertain a motion to go into executive session. Motion and a second.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Please excuse us, but we're going to go
into the executive
session. I think it's probably easier for us to leave the room, frankly.
Understands what's in one piece.
I'm going to call us back into order. Thank you for your patience with us. At this point, seems like there's been a lot of items, but actually item 3 in our agenda is the approval of the minutes from our February 9th meeting. They have been presented and available. May I have a motion to approve them?
I make a motion to approve the last minute meetings from the last minute meeting.
We have a motion. Can we have a second? Motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. Before we get to the next two items, I would like to make a few comments. And I want to preface them by saying that this is not a public hearing. But out of respect for the industry and our relationship, your comments matter. We're registered and meant a great deal to the trustees. And we'll get into where we go from here shortly. But appreciate your being here and your comments very much. As we all know, the fund was created in order that it may promote the breeding of horses and the conduct of equine research in the state on its own responsibility and under its own management. In considering the statutory mandate, the Board of Trustees as the of this fund has recognized for many years the Harness Horse Breeders of New York State, HHB, as a sole source vendor with respect to the effective and efficient promotion of the standard bred breeding industry as it's contemplated by the racing law. By passing the sole source resolution each year, we were not absolutely assured over time that HHB remained the only vendor that could provide these services. And in making such a determination as to whether this contract should continue as a sole source, we would have needed to justify that decision. Given this concern, the fund board at its December meeting supported a motion to solicit proposals through a request for proposals process, along with extending our current contact with HHB for the 3 months in anticipation of the time requirement to do so. Staff subsequently prepared two documents. The first one was the RFQ for Equine Program Administrative Services, and the second one was an RFP for the marketing and public relations of Equine. Staff, working with the contracts unit directed by Gail Thorpe at the New York State Gaming Commission, prepared these two documents. In this regard, I would like to thank both of them, Gail and Stacy, from the Gaming Commission for the work and the critical knowledge in leading the process. So thank you both. The request for proposals provided for the solicitation of Equine Marketing and Public Relations Services. This document, which was released to the public in February, provided for the strategic account planning, advertising, promotion, event management, creative development, production and distribution of all advertising, marketing, communications, promotional materials, digital marketing and advertising, social media management, creative development, and content management of the fund's website and account management. Second document was a request for quotations for Equine Program Administrative Services. The successful bidder here would provide administrative services, which would include calculating and maintaining the New York Sire Stakes points earnings for all programs, including Stakes, Excelsior, and County Fair Racing. Having provided this brief history, we are now prepared to make the awards for both RFP and RFQ. Consideration of recommendation of award for the RFQ for Equine Program Administrative Services. Having provided a brief overview of the process, we are here today subject to vote and acceptance of the trustees to award the fund's request for quotations for Equine Program Administrative Services. Two proposals were received by the date and time required by the RFQ. The method of award for this item was the lowest bidder. For the record, notice of this procurement opportunity was provided in the New York State Contract Reporter, the fund's website, and the website of the New York State Gaming Commission. In addition, email notification was provided to potential firms. The procurement timeline was as follows. February 8th, RFP was issued. Amendment 1, first Q&A summary on February 21st. Amendment 2, supplement March 1st. Bids were received March 9th, reference check performed March 10th through the 20th, 2017. Any firm submitting a proposal in response to the RFQ was required to meet the minimum qualifications defined in the RFQ and included. The bidder must be located in New York State. The bidder must have at least 2 years demonstrated experience in the scope of work required under the RFQ. The bidder must have demonstrated knowledge of competitive equine racing programs that include point standings. The bidder must have a general understanding of the equine industry and economic impact. As part of the award process, the Commission performed a vendor responsibility review to ensure the financial viability and integrity of the proposed awardee. CHMS was the lowest bidder by quite a substantial amount, and that bid did meet the requirements set forth in the RFQ. A search of the resources of CHMS did not disclose any adverse finding. Additionally, the Commission's contracts unit reported that the firm possesses the necessary experience and staffing to meet the defined deliverables. At this time, I would ask for a motion based on this fact, compared to the other bidders, that we award the contract for Equine Program Administrative Services to Capitol Hill Management Services. I need a motion.
I'll make the motion.
And I also need a second.
I'll second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, so carried. This contract will begin on May 1st for a 1 year term, and staff will commence the contractual phase of this process and will continue and will be contacting Capitol Hill Management. The cost for this program is $48,500. The next item is consideration of recommendation award, a request for proposals for Equine Marketing and Public Relations Services. This item is subject to vote and acceptance of the trustees as the award for this request for proposals for equine marketing and public relations. Two proposals were received by the date and time required by the RFP. This award was somewhat different than the RFQ for administrative services that we just awarded, and not based on the lowest bid. Instead, an evaluation committee was relied upon for a review of the proposals submitted. Notice of this procurement opportunity was provided in the New York State Contract Reporter, the fund's website, and the website of the New York State Gaming Commission. In addition, email notification was provided to 70 potential firms. The procurement timeline is as follows. January 30th of 2017, RFP issued. Amendment 1 and the first Q&A summary, February 15th. Amendment 2, second Q&A and summary, February 23rd. Amendment 3, supplement, March 1st. Proposals received, March 3rd. Reference check performed, March 10th through the 20th. Interviews were held on March 16th and on the 20th. Any firm submitting a proposal in response to the RFP was required to meet the minimum qualifications defined in the RFP and included the following. The contractor must be an established firm with at least 2 years demonstrated experience in marketing and public relations services relevant to the scope of work required. The contractor must have indicated in its response whether any of the functions required under a resulting contract had been handled by subcontractors or partner agencies on previous accounts. The contractor must have experience in event promotions and management, support, execution, coordination services, and follow-up. The evaluation committee was comprised of the following individuals: Trustee Peter R. Jenna, Jackie Zub, Ron Okram, and Mark Stewart. Trustee Kimmelman served as a subject matter expert during some of the evaluation discussions, but was not a voting member. The procurement and evaluation process was administered by Gail Thorpe, Supervisor of Contract Administration, and Stacy, Relation Contract Management Specialist, both of the Gaming Commission's Contract Administration Unit. Consensus scoring methodology was used to score the technical proposal, and scoring was based on a predetermined and weighted scoring system. The weighted scoring system provides numerical scores that represent the committee's assessment of the technical merits of each proposal. Prior to the receipt of this proposal, an evaluation instrument was developed by the Commission's Contract Administration Office and signed by the acting Executive Director of the Fund. The evaluation instrument provided instructions to the committee of the evaluation process, detailed the technical criteria to be applied in analyzing the technical proposals, provides a sample reference and interview questions, defined the calculation to be applied to pricing, and provided worksheets for recording scores. Consistent with the best value award, evaluation took into account both the technical and pricing component of each proposal. The relative weight of technical to price was 70% to 30%. Evaluation meetings were held and scoring was performed by the committee on a consensus basis using the evaluation criteria and guidelines from the evaluation instrument. During the technical evaluation process, references were contacted, interviews were held for each bidder as provided in the RFP. Upon completion of the technical evaluation process, through signature by the committee of the technical criteria scoring sheets, the pricing proposals were removed from the safe by the Commission's internal contract staff. Pricing proposals were then reviewed for compliance and calculations made based upon a predetermined formula as provided for in the RFP. After a thorough review and scoring process, the evaluation committee recommended that Capital Management be awarded the contract for equine marketing and public relations. Contingent upon this vote, they will be handling the day-to-day work under the account and will be subcontracting the public relations work to Baker Public Relations. Both companies have offices in Albany. The proposal submitted by CHMS met the requirements set forth in the RFP, and the committee determined that the firm possesses the necessary experience and staffing to meet the desired deliverables. They were deemed the best value in response to the RFP. Effective upon approval of this award by the fund trustees, and execution of an agreement. The service will commence on March 1st, 2017, and continue for a three-year term. The estimated cost for the three-year period is $446,875. At this point, I would ask to have a motion to accept the evaluation committee's recommendation. What did I say? I said March. Sorry about that. May 1st. Yes. Have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Peter's motion. And a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Seems to be carried. The staff will commence the contractual phase of this process, and we will be in touch with Batmobile shortly. I want to thank the Harness Horse Breeders for their hard work and dedication to the Sire Stakes program. We certainly look forward to your continued relationship with us. We very much care about the industry and the success of this program. We heard your comments, and I think we all shared a couple of reactions to your comments. I would point to two things. One, the working group that we intend to start here at the Department of Ag and Markets, where we're going to look for your input on how breeding looks like over the next 20 years in New York State. I would also look towards our spring meeting coming up here in May or June, probably June, where we entertain branding opportunities as we go forward to help get the work done with this industry. The next item on our agenda is new or old business. We do have a meeting coming up in Goshen. We have a few items, including grants, we'll consider at that meeting. And we'll also provide an opportunity just for a look at the progress that we have awarded today. Is there any other business that should come before us at this time?
No.
Mike? At this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned at 11:35. Thank you for your attendance.